chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 21. And I told Abigail on the way over here, she was trying to guess who I was going to preach about tonight. And she guessed Jezebel. She guessed right. And I told her I had been thinking about this for several months. Maybe even the thought came to my mind as much as a year ago, or maybe even longer than that. Sometimes it's like that. You'll think about something, study about it, and you just don't have any liberty to preach on it. But when the Lord gives the green light, then that's when you preach on it. And so I had really this morning two messages on my heart, and I was trying to pray about which one to preach in the morning and which one to preach at night. And so we're going to preach out of 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture tonight as we're studying somebody's life. And we're going to bring out several examples. So we're just going to jump right in verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 16. You're probably familiar with this, but we'll read it again and refresh our memory. Verse 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Now it's hard for me not to read in whiny voices, because when I hear Ahab responding to Jezebel, that's the way I want to read it. But sometimes I read a story to Chloe at night and she says, just read in your normal voice. Sometimes she likes my voices and sometimes she don't. But boy, Ahab, he is a whiner. Bless his heart. That's what you say about people sometimes when you can't think of anything else. Verse 7, And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders of the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they did what she told them to do. Verses 12 through verse number 16. Let's skip down in verse 16. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for letting us be here tonight, and I want to thank you for the good liberty to preach this morning. Lord, I come back tonight and I need your help once again. Lord, we come asking as humbly as we know how that you'd help us. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you'd make it easy as we stand tonight and try to preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would use the message
for your honor and your glory, not just right here with everybody that'll hear it tonight, but God, you'd use it as well as it goes out in other places and other people might hear the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the great opportunities that we have in these last days. Use us for thy honor and thy glory, that we might have the touch of God upon our lives. Lord, that is our desire. Help us tonight. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's go back and read verse number 7. Just the first part of that verse, the Bible said, "And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him." Now, we've already announced the subject we're going to preach on tonight. I want to try to preach on the subject of Jezebel, the drama queen. Jezebel, the drama queen. Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, as we already know from reading in the Bible tonight, the king of Israel. She called him, in verse number 1, Ahab, king of Samaria. And then down later on, she said, I believe it's verse number 7, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel?" So Ahab was the king that made Jezebel the queen. She is without a doubt one of the single most wicked people in all of the Bible, whether you're talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament. Jezebel was such a bad character that I almost feel sorry for Ahab. She is a bad one. But you know what? He deserved her, and she deserved him. The first time Jezebel is ever mentioned in the Bible is in chapter number 16. We're going to flip a few places here tonight, and we read some things about Ahab. Well, he was wicked as well. Chapter 16 and verse number 30, the Bible says over there, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." So he's wicked too. Verse 31 said, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel." That's the first time she's ever mentioned in the Bible. I like to circle the first time I find things in the Bible. So it's the first time we read the name Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now, just a little bit about Jezebel and her family. They were obviously worshipers of Baal. They were not worshipers of the true God. And Ahab married somebody that he never should have married. The Bible says we are not to be unequally yoked together. And so Ahab, he should have been a worshiper of the true God. Of course, he got messed up in his worship. He married her. And from here on out, we read more about Baal worship. Verse 32, the Bible said, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal." Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, it means worshipers of Baal. And so they began to worship Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So they deserved one another. If Ahab had any potential for doing anything right, and there are just a couple of bright spots in his life, she made sure that never came to pass. They deserved one another. She was wicked, and he was wicked as well. But old Ahab got, I believe, what he deserved. He married him a real drama queen. Drama queen. That's a phrase that I've heard more in the past several years than I don't think I'd ever heard it really until the past several years. And you hear this phrase about somebody being a drama queen. You might see a young lady or even little girls that'll have a shirt or a t-shirt or something that says drama queen. And there, I think, from what I've studied, there's evidently some singing groups or songs out there, and There are those in the entertainment industry that are referred to many, many times as drama queens. But I want to say tonight that if somebody calls you a drama queen, it is not a compliment. And if I was a parent or a young lady that had something that said drama queen on it after tonight, I'd take it and throw it away or burn it one. Drama queen is not a compliment. Now, you don't find the word drama queen in the dictionary, but it doesn't take much to find out what it is. Several definitions I come across. A drama queen is an overly dramatic person. That's the first and most basic definition of that. An overly dramatic person. A drama queen is a person who takes every situation and blows it out of proportion. Makes it bigger than it really is. Makes a big deal out of something that really is not a big deal. That's a drama queen. A drama queen is a person that thinks the world revolves around them. You ever seen anybody like that? Thinks that the world revolves around them and their situation. A drama queen is a person that seeks attention. They desire to draw attention unto themselves. That's a drama queen. I found this. They have some emotional disorder and feel it is their duty to make life harder for everyone else around them. You ever run into somebody like that? Boy, it makes life hard to live. A drama queen likes to stir up stuff between others just to be the center of attention. Every time that we find Jezebel in the Bible, in Scripture, there is some kind of drama going on. There is some kind of situation that is going on. She is truly the original drama queen. I couldn't find out where it originated from, so I just say it originated from the Bible. Jezebel is the original drama queen. And we're just going to dive right into the Scripture tonight and try to make some applications as we go along. Number one, I want to say about Jezebel, the drama queen, she was a manhandler. She was a manhandler. Chapter 21, we're going to go back over there. And like I said, we're going to read several verses. Chapter 21 and verse number 7. Ahab, he tries to buy a piece of land. Naboth will not sell the land. Ahab goes home crying about it. He can't buy this vineyard off of Naboth. Verse 7, and Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Then we go on. We'll go ahead and read verse number 11 again. She wrote letters. She forged Ahab's name. Got some of his letterhead and his envelopes. Sent out a letter, and she said in verse 11, or she said to basically frame Naboth and have him stoned to death. And verse 11 said, and the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. Jezebel was a man handler. When Ahab came home whining, she said, Ahab, basically in verse number 7, she said, get you something to eat. You always get fussy and whiny when you're hungry. Why don't you just get something to eat and you just leave it unto me? I'll get the vineyard. And she wrote these letters in Ahab's name. Sent the letters unto the men of the city. And the Bible says two times in verse number 11 that they did according to the letters that she sent unto them. Now I believe these men would have known that Ahab never had the guts to do anything like that. They knew they were carrying out Jezebel's handiwork. They knew that they were doing what she desired to be done. But she had a control over these men. She had a way with these men in order to get them to do what she wanted to do. She had bought out the whole ministerial association. She had all the false prophets under her thumb. Did you know that? Did you know that? Look in chapter 18, what the Bible says. Chapter 18 and verse number 19. The Bible says over there, chapter 18, verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. She had these prophets that she controlled, that she fed, that she had on the government payroll, that ate at her table. She had control over men. She's the type of individual that was what we call a control freak. When Jezebel said jump, they jumped and said, how high do you want us to jump? When I see Jezebel and her interactions with Ahab in the Bible, she was the one that wore the pants in the family. She controlled these men. Have you ever seen that cartoon? It's Cinderella, not Cinderella, the other one. And it just slipped my mind. But the Queen of Hearts. And to everybody that come into her court, she said, what is it? Alice in Wonderland. And everybody that came into her court, she said, off with their head, off with their head. Every time I see that, I think about that's how Jezebel was. She had control over the lives of other people. This drama queen that we see in the Bible, she was a control freak. And I want to say tonight to the young men that are here, I want to preach by way of a warning. In your life, you better watch out for this kind of an individual. It does not matter how pretty she is. And there's some pretty ones out there. It doesn't matter how sweet she talks. It does not matter how deeply she can bat her eyes at you. And she may promise the world unto you. I promise you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, if you marry a boss, you will live your life wishing you was dead. You'll wake up more times in your life and you will say to yourself, I just don't know if I can go on. I wished I was dead. I'm being honest with you tonight. You marry a boss and you'll hate it all the days of your life. And I believe old Ahab, bless his heart, he married him a boss, and I'm sure there's more than one day that Ahab woke up and said to himself, I'd rather be dead than go in there and face that woman. Say, preacher, that's being awful unkind towards Ahab and Jezebel and anybody that would come under this heading that you're preaching about tonight. Proverbs 27 and 15 says this, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. The Bible says about dwelling in a wide house. There's not a house big enough to dwell in that's got a contentious woman. A continual dropping in a very rainy day. That's like, have you ever heard of Chinese water torture? It's where they take an individual and they put them under a dripping water and they just let the water drip on their forehead. And it drips and it drips and you say, oh, that wouldn't be so bad. But it goes on and it on and on. And I've read about that to the person that's being tortured in that manner, it drives them crazy after a while. And all it is a drip of water. See, it's not one drop of water, it's thousands and thousands. And after a while, it drives the person crazy to where they can't stand it any longer. And the Bible said that the contentious woman is like that, continual dropping in a very rainy day. It'll drive you crazy after a while. And that's how Jezebel was. She is a manhandler. She is a boss. She told Ahab everything to do in his life. She lorded over him. He was the king in name only, but we know from studying the Bible who really had the power, the authority, and it was Jezebel. She is a manhandler. Number two tonight, she was a manipulator. Jezebel and those like her are manipulators. Now that's what she did in chapter 21 and verse number 7. She manipulated Ahab. She said, you go get something to eat. You just take a nap. I will deliver the vineyard unto thee. Now just how are you going to do that, honey? Notice he wasn't concerned about that. He knew she'd get it done. He went on, had something to eat. She told him to rejoice, let your heart be merry. I will give the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So in verse number 8, the Bible said, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name. That's a manipulator. She caused these men to kill another man. It's actually what she did in writing these letters, like she was Abraham, but she was not. The drama queen will stop at nothing to get her way. Look at chapter 21, verse number 25, what the Bible says about Jezebel. Chapter 21, verse 25. It said, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. You ought to underline that in your Bible. You know what that means, who Jezebel, his wife, stirred up? It means that she seduced, that she enticed, that she manipulated Ahab, the king, in order to get what she wanted. The drama queen will do anything to get what they want. She used forgery here in chapter number 21. Now, I think that's a felony in our day and time. If you go write a check and you sign somebody else's name and you forge something, that's what she did. I believe you can get in big trouble for doing that. But that's what she did in order to get her way. She forged letters. She used violence to get her way. Chapter 18, verse number 4. Look what the Bible says over there. Chapter 18, verse number 4. She used violence in order to get her way. The Bible said, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. You know what Jezebel did in order to get her way? She murdered the prophets of the Lord, cut them off. She was not above anything or below to get her way. She didn't like some way. She didn't like somebody. She had them killed. That's what she did. She used forgery. She used violence. She used threats. Look at chapter 19, verse number 2. After Elijah and Mount Carmel and him destroying the prophets of Baal. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, Elijah, buddy, if I can get my hands on you, I'm gonna kill you. She's not above using threats to get her way. She used others to get her way. She had these men in chapter number 21 frame Naboth and have him stoned to death. She was not above using sex to get her way. If you look over in 2 Kings, now keep your place. But if you look over in 2 Kings, and we're going to read some verses over there, chapter number 9. I'm telling you, the drama queen will do anything in order to get her way. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 30. And we'll just read a verse and come back and explain what's going on here later. But the Bible said, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. She was going to do anything she had to do. She'd try anything under the sun in order to save her sorry neck. There's no low too low for a person like Jezebel. You get somebody out here that is a drama queen and they will cry. They're not above using emotions to get their way. They'll cry. They'll call the law. They'll call the doctor. They'll call anybody. They'll do anything. Anything in order to get their way. They'll use emotions. Nobody loves me. Oh, I'm just going to kill myself. Anybody that would use that in order to get their way is low down. And sorry, but people do it all the time. Nobody loves me. Oh, if I don't get my way, I'm just going to end it all. You know what's been my experience? People that actually kill themselves don't advertise it. They just do it. And it's a sad and a hurtful thing when somebody commits suicide. So I say, when somebody uses a threat like that in order to get their way, well, that's low down. In order to get attention, in order to get what they want, but that's how Jezebel was. She was a drama queen. She was a manipulator. She would do anything in order to get her way and get attention and draw it unto herself. She's a manipulator. She's number three. She's merciless. She's merciless. You talk about a heartless person. Jezebel was a heartless person. Chapter 18, verse 4, we've already read that. She had the prophets of the Lord killed. She cut them off. She began to kill God's men. What kind of person does something like that? What kind of person forges letters and has a good, godly man like Naboth put to death? Framed and put to death. But that's exactly what Jezebel did. She would have killed Elijah if she could have got her hands on him. That's what she said in chapter 19. The gods do so to me and more also. If I don't do the same thing to you by tomorrow at this time, she threatened Elijah. If I can get my hands on you, I'm going to kill you in 24 hours. That's what she did. She sent messengers. What kind of person thinks like that, does something like that? Won't you bear with me just a minute? I'm going to do like Brother Claude Sudreth used to say. He said, if God will help you, you can not only read the lines, but you can read in between the lines sometimes. We study about Jezebel and what's going on in her mind and what kind of person is she. I got to studying this passage of Scripture and I found out as I was studying that dogs are mentioned 24 times in the Bible. Dogs are mentioned 7 times in relation to Jezebel. Far more than any other place or any other person in the Bible, we find that dogs are mentioned in relation to Jezebel. Jezebel is a type. Now here's where this gets interesting. I know you don't know whether to say amen or not, because you're afraid that you'll get in trouble when you get home. But just say amen. If God lays on your heart, say amen. Jezebel is a type of the last generation that'll live upon the earth. Jezebel is a type of that Proverbs chapter number 30 generation that rejects authority, that is religious, that is self-righteous. She's a type of that generation. She is a type of that generation in Romans chapter 1 and verse 31 that says that that generation is without natural affection. We are living in a generation like Jezebel that is without natural affection. Natural affection is a parent's love for their children. We were out canvassing a few weeks ago, and I always like to read bumper stickers. If you can read some people, they'll tell you exactly what they are just by reading their bumper stickers. So I'm in a habit of that. I read bumper stickers. And there was a little car there in the parking lot. We was in an apartment complex, and there's a car. And I really believe if this person had been up in a lineup, I could have picked them out, but I never laid eyes on them. I mean, there's all kinds of bumper stickers. But she had a bumper sticker that said, "Cats, not kids." I believe it's Brother Finley and I were together. I said, "Look at that. She's probably studying to be a teacher." I mean, that's kind of messed up world that we're living in. Where would you even go to buy a bumper sticker that said cats, not kids? And what does that say about somebody's mindset that they would put something like that on their vehicle that said cats, not kids? But dogs are mentioned in relation to Jezebel more than anybody else in the Bible. And I'm just sort of reading between the lines. I believe that Jezebel was a dog lover. I really believe that she was. I'll say some more about that as we go on in the message. But I can just see her in my mind. I can see her cuddled up with a big old greyhound on the lounger there in the palace. If you study in the book of Proverbs, that was the dog breed of royalty was a greyhound. I can just see her cuddled up with two or three big old dogs there in the palace and probably had her portrait painted with some of them. And I can see her going up to them and, "Oh, this is mommy, and oh, I just love you, and give me a big kiss." And I can just see that big dog just licking her all over the face, can't you? Now, if you've got dogs at home, I don't care. Let them lick you on the face. I'm not preaching about that. But I believe Jezebel's the type of woman, she'd pay more attention to that dog than she would one of her own young'uns. And if her own young'un was sitting there crying and starving, she wouldn't give it a cold Pop-Tart. But she'd do anything in the world for them dogs. The Bible says without natural affection. We are living in a generation where people treat their pets like children and treat their children like dogs. Amen. Amen. There's something wrong with that. I don't care if you got pets. That's nothing to me, neither here nor there. But if you treat your animals better than you treat your young'uns, you need to get right with God. There's something wrong with that. If you got more patience and spend more money on an animal than you do a young'un, there's something wrong with that. And I believe that's the kind of person that Jezebel was. That is merciless. That is heartless. She was a heartless individual. She thought nothing about taking the life of another human being. But dogs are mentioned all around and in connection with her. I'll come back to that a little later on. She was merciless. She was mouthy. Look in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. I've already read that, but look how she conducted herself. It said in chapter 19, verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." Verse 2, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.'" If that's not a manly threat, I don't know what is. She said, "I'm going to kill you." She's a mouthy individual. There's no such thing that we ever find about Jezebel having a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4. Now, just because you can talk all the time does not mean that any of us should talk all the time. But every time I find Jezebel in the scripture, she's running that mouth. She's being made known. She's got something to say about everything. You search Proverbs chapter 31. You read over there about the virtuous woman. There is no trace in Jezebel's life of anything that pertains to a virtuous woman. She is the exact opposite of what God's people ought to want to be. Every time we see her, she's talking. Every time we see her, drama. You ever get around some of these people, and you can't be around them 5 minutes till it's some big blown up deal. It's some kind of drama that's always going on. It's always about them. Everything is always blowed all to pieces. Boy, that gets old real, real fast. That's how Jezebel was. You remember, she's a type. She is a type of the last generation that'll live upon this earth. The last generation is just going to be about me, me, me. They ought to call it, you know, they've got the X, the Y, the Z. They run out of the alphabet. I don't know what's after that. But they ought to just start calling it the me, me. It's about me. You know what? The me generation really started with the baby boomers. Me. It's about me. It's about getting. It's about gaining. It's about having my way. That's how Jezebel was. She's the type of the last generation. She's mouthy. Number five, look in 2 Kings chapter 9. She was a mistress. She was a mistress. 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 22. Jehu comes, talks with one of Jezebel's sons. It says in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 22, "And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?'" Jehu's getting ready to take over. "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." You see, she was a worshiper of Baal, and that this thing about being faithful to one person, being faithful to your husband, that was no part of their religion. She was a mistress. She was around men all the time. If you study about Jezebel, she surrounded herself. She lacked the attention of these different men. But I'll bet you if we could go back in time, she wouldn't give Ahab the time of day. I'd say Ahab got the cold shoulder more than any man that's ever lived upon the face of the earth. Oh, he got what he wanted, but I bet he didn't like what he got. Because that's the kind of person that Jezebel was. "As long as the whoredoms of thy mother and thy witchcrafts," and their religion was centered around this sexual perversion. I mean, that's just how they lived. Terrible way to live. She was with these men. She tried to seduce Jehu. When Jehu came to where she was in verse 30, when it says that she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window, and as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace who slew his master?" She was trying to present herself to Jehu in a sexual way. I was studying about this and found out that the archaeologists have actually found in a place that's called Ahab's palace or Ahab's house, they found little stone cosmetic boxes. And they had little indentions like a woman's makeup container, and had actually, where there's different colors, she literally painted her face red and green and black and all these different colors. And so she fixed herself up. She's going to save her neck. whatever it takes. She was a mistress. She tried to seduce Jehu in order to save her skin. But last of all, and we're closing tonight with this, number seven, she was marked for destruction. She's a type of that last generation that'll live upon the earth. And God saw the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel, and He put a mark upon them. God said, you might have your way for a little while, but you're not always going to have your way. Look in chapter 21, verse number 23, back in 1 Kings. Now, we're going, don't leave your place in 2 Kings. But look in 1 Kings chapter 21. This is where we started tonight. And God saw what Ahab and Jezebel done to Naboth. And Elijah came down there, and boy, he had a little message for him. It said in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 23, and of Jezebel. Now, he's already preached to Ahab, but it said in verse 23, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Elijah said, I got a little message for Jezebel. The dogs are going to eat her. I got to think about that. I just see her up there. Little Poochie Poochie, I love you so much. I could just eat you up. And about that time, one of them dogs got in their minds, you know what? I think I could eat you up. Don't you think that's possible? Because that is what happened. Look back in 2 Kings chapter 9. I think I could just eat you up. And the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 32, and he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? There looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trode her underfoot. They threw Jezebel out of the window. And she splattered on the ground. And she and Jehu drove over her and went on down the road. That's what is being described in these verses. Well, verse 34 said, and when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. Verse 35, and they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah. That's what we just read. The Tishbite saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung. You know what that is, don't you? The carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. See, that you really reading, studying this, you know what happened? The dogs ate the body of Jezebel. They went back to bury her, but there was no body there. The dogs ate her body. And the Bible said that she'll be as dung. So there's nowhere to bury and say, this is Jezebel. And I believe from studying this passage of Scripture that from that time forward, when they went out and seen where a dog had went to the bathroom, they said, why, there's Jezebel. Read and study it for yourself when you get home. Because that was, the dogs ate her. God said her carcass will be as dung upon the earth. There's no monument. When you see a dog go to the bathroom, they'd say, there's Jezebel. There's old Jezebel. You talk about divine vengeance. God said, you kill my prophets, but it'll come back on you tenfold. Jezebel of all the people. There's Jezebel. What fun they must have made of her. There's the drama queen. Behind that dog. Isn't that awful? Say, preacher, what makes you think of something like that? I think that's what the Bible's teaching. I think that's what happened. Proverbs chapter number 30. Talks about a generation upon the earth that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Proverbs 30 verse 12 says, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. Is that not where we are? Oh, I'm saved. I might live like the devil, but I'm saved. I'm not doing anything wrong. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, full of pride. Verse 14, there's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. We live in a generation that is not kind, is not respectful. Boy, people cut down and curse and pronounce judgment. I mean this liberal crowd that they wouldn't cut down a tree, but they got no problem with killing babies or saying that preacher ought to be hung or shot or killed or whatever the case. I mean, violent people. Violence upon the earth. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. Three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. This last generation never stops crying, give, give. You give them everything under the sun, they just want more. They just want more. Jezebel is a type of that generation. She is a type of that generation that professes to know God, but they don't know the power thereof. That is without natural affection. Jezebel is a type of that generation. I preach all this to say this. We're living in the last days. We're surrounded by Jezebel type individuals. Drama queens, drama kings. Everywhere. You don't have to go far to find the pattern. And it ought to cause us. Sometimes when you see something through the eyes of the Bible, it helps clarify what's really going on out in the world. We're living in the last days. We ought to pray and ask that God would deliver us from every characteristic of that generation. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that thinking life is all about me. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve others. We're not here to build us a kingdom. We're here to glorify God's kingdom. Lord, deliver us. You young people, if you don't see what it's like, you're very likely to ruin your life and to marry somebody that's like an Ahab, like a Jezebel. You'll regret it all the days of your life. Lord, help us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, save us. Lord, help us to help somebody. Lord, help us not to be like that. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.